Nobody does it like Jim Quick and Coastline. And then after that, it's the Band of Oz. Known worldwide, great shaggin' music. The Band of Oz will be live at Gillette Field. So come on. Then, after the shows, get ready for the award-winning fireworks display. The best part? It's absolutely free. Gates open at 5. Come on and enjoy Independence Day with us at Gillette Field in Seneca.
There are lots of reasons you love your deck. Staining it is probably not one of them. Choose a stain that will last for years and provide enduring beauty. The new Timeless Stain from PPG, only at the Home Depot. From $43.97 a gallon. When it goes on and on, year after year, protecting your deck from everything Mother Nature can throw at it. It's been a secret of the pros for years, and now you can get in on it. The new Timeless Stain from PPG, starting at $43.97 a gallon. Exclusively at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
Using the Groupon app, you can save up to $100 a week on what you do every day, like haircuts. Because even if you don't need a haircut, you're eventually going to need a haircut. Unless you're bald, in which case Groupon can save you a lot of money on skincare. The point is, using Groupon can save you up to $100 a week. Getting a massage? Check Groupon. Mani-pedi? Check Groupon. Looking for nearby yoga classes? Use the top-rated Groupon app to save up to $100 a week on what you do every day. Download the app and save. Groupon.
Ships at sea. I have two of the ships at sea in here with me today.
I see that.
Yeah. Kelly Gramlich and William Quackenbush joining me today for two segments. Two segments. How about that?
You're committed now.
Yeah, we were going to. Well, you know, I lured them in with discussion of the NBA draft, and then I threw the plot twist. Then I threw the plot twist.
There's always a twist.
There is always a twist. And the plot twist is the interesting conversation I heard you guys having on my way in. Apparently, was it CBS Sportsline, Kelly, who offered, what, 5 bold predictions?
For the 2017 season, yes.
Was it a particular guy or was it, who was it?
Who was it? Like Ben?
It's Ben Kercheval.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Whoever he is.
You know, friend of the show.
Yeah. And I only heard the last three. So let's just run that back, if you don't mind. What were the first two?
So the 5 bold predictions. Number one was the Heisman Trophy will be awarded to a true freshman for the first time. And he was citing Cam Akers as the favorite to make this prediction come true.
And I thought it was outrageous.
Yeah, I did too.
Well, look,
Akers is going to be that starting tailback at Florida State, and he is going to put up big numbers. I don't have much doubt about that. The problem with that is that if Florida State wins the national title, DeAndre Francois is going to win the Heisman Trophy. If they're on track to win the national title, I should say, it'll be DeAndre Francois who wins the national title. I think pretty much regardless of what Akers does. I do think Akers is going to rush for over 1,000 yards, and I do think he's going to flash his star power. I don't think Florida State's going to lose a lot at that spot because of Akers' unique ability. But I find it highly improbable that he would win the Heisman Trophy. So I would say very slim chance of that. So that's bold prediction number one then that goes down. You guys both voted that down.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Quite bold.
Yeah.
Number two is... Okay. That is bold. He bolded it for a reason.
Al McGuire once said the original Dream Team was going to lose in the Olympics. That was bold, too.
Number two, this year's leading rusher will not be a name you expect. Basically, won't be Barkley, won't be Darius Geis. He cites Northwestern's Justin Jackson as one of the favorites to accomplish this one.
I said it wasn't even bold because normally it's a guy that, I mean, from those standards, even Donnell Pumphrey last year wouldn't have fit that definition of a guy that everybody, like a Fournette or somebody like that.
I'll tell you who to watch for in that. Watch for Larry Rose at New Mexico State. He was, I think he was on track to go for 2,000 yards a year ago based on the prior season. He was injured last year. He has sports hernia, and he never really played. He'll be back healthy. And I wouldn't be surprised if he hits 2,000 yards. So I don't think that's a particularly bold prediction. The biggest name running backs seldom lead the country in rushing.
We agree with that one. That one wasn't too bold. The third one, and Walt, help us on the pronunciation. We think we have it down, but we're gonna need to know it come the season. Tua Tagovailoa.
That's right.
Yep. Is that
there
right?
We go. Yeah.
Tua. We're just gonna call him Tua. No.
Yeah, Tua Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa.
Like tongue.
In other words, Tua will become a steady part of Alabama's offense
That's
this
right.
season.
He is an exceptional talent, a better talent than Alabama's had a quarterback in quite some time. I watched their spring game. This kid's a lefty. He can throw the ball. He can really throw the ball. I heard you guys mention Lane Kiffin's comments. You know, Lane Kiffin can have it both ways. Last year, he was saying that Jalen Hurts is going to be a round one draft pick at one point, and now he's saying that that Tua is going to take over the role. I think Kwok is right. It's hard to displace a national championship game quarterback. You know, I do think there's some issues with throwing a forward pass there, but the he is certainly a leader, I think, at the very least. But that's going to be interesting to watch because Tua really is talented. I mean, I think he's clearly the most talented guy I've seen there in a long time. I mean, I'm trying to think back through the Alabama game manager quarterbacks that they have run for years now. And you'd have to go back a long way since Alabama's had a guy that I think displays this talent. He can throw the deep ball, and he also can throw a touch. So he gives them a different dimension. But still probably not going to happen.
So I think I'm going to save the K-State one for our fifth one.
Okay.
How about that? So the fourth bold prediction, at least five Power 5 coaches will not make it to November. Will get axed.
Yeah, I heard that list of guys, and they may all be fired, but it's not going to be before November.
That's too
There's
early.
Zero chance of that, in my estimation. Zero. I mean, that's actually sort of stupid. You're not going to have five teams fire their coaches before November. It's not the way it's done in college. You may have one do it, maybe two, but I would be shocked if it was more than that. Now, could all those guys be dismissed? Yeah. Should they all be dismissed? Probably. I don't really like any of them, at least the ones that I remember that you had given out. Well, who are those six guys? Butch Jones. The six Todd Graham, are,
yeah, Kevin Sumlin, Hugh Freeze,
allergies,
Brian Kelly, Todd Graham, Jim Mora, and Butch Jones.
Yeah, I think those guys are all subject to ejection. Graham has an enormous buyout. Now, I don't know if that goes down this year or what, because last year was like at $16 million or something.
It was the highest in the country, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was an enormous buyout, because I think they would have fired him a year ago. And listen, there are other guys on that list. Rich Rodriguez needs to be on that list. I mean, the only teams Rich Rodriguez beat last year were Todd Graham and Arizona State and Grambling State. I watched that Grambling State game. He trailed 20-3 at home at the half. And Grambling State's quarterback got injured. That's the only reason they beat them. So, you know, Rich Rod may be coming to the end there, too. We might clean out all those Arizona quarterback coaches. Yeah, I think there's a good chance all those guys get dismissed, but just not before November.
The timing isn't right there.
No, it's just not the way it's done in college, generally.
And the fifth prediction, Kansas State will send Coach Bill Snyder out on top by winning the Big 12.
Now, this one's a two-parter, because send him out on top means Snyder retires after the year, too.
Right. So it's a two-part bowl.
Yeah,
I don't know about the second part, but I've been predicting that first part now for like 2 months, so I think Kansas State is going to win the Big 12. I think that in Jesse Ertz, they have one of the most unique quarterbacks in the country, and a guy who just doesn't get the attention that he probably deserves at this point. There were three quarterbacks in America last year who threw for over 1,500 yards and rushed for over 1,000. Ertz was one of them, and he is blessed with what might be the most explosive core of wide receivers in the country. I mean, big time athlete speed. This Byron Pringle cat is just an unbelievable athlete. And they have a bunch of those guys. They also have four talented running backs and a really good offensive line. I think the one question they have is they lose a defensive stalwart at every level of that defense. And that defense was probably the best in the Big 12 last year. I think statistically it was the best. But they lose a star player at every level of that defense, and including Jordan Willis up front and Dante Barnett on the back end, who was a big-time playmaker for them. I think that'll be the question. But you asked me going in, I have an Oklahoma team that, as you said, Kelly, lost a lot of weapons. And I think, at least as importantly, they lost their head coach. And that's sort of a big deal. I know people, Lincoln Riley's a sharp guy. I don't have any doubt about that. I still think you lose Bob Stoops. I still think that costs you early. I think eventually Lincoln Riley will have it all down, but he's going to be a little wide-eyed. And I do think Oklahoma State is a factor. I guess Kansas State plays at Oklahoma State. That's still what you said.
K-State's schedule is pretty favorable.
Yeah, and look, they've played well at Stillwater before. They've lost two, like, one-point games there. I think that Ertz in that combination. Listen, I don't think it's impossible that K-State makes the playoff. I think they're going to win that. I think they are going to win that league.
That would really be sending Bill Snyder out on top.
It would. And you know, so I think that's the one I'm buying. Out of those five, that's the one I'm buying. The others, not so much.
I like the one that wasn't bold, the name that you don't know that's going to win, you know, lead the nation in rushing. That's great. That's just not a bold prediction.
No, not unless you give the name.
Right, exactly right.
I'm giving you the name. The name is Larry Rose at New Mexico State. Larry Rose the third, I think it is. I think he's Larry Rose the third at New Mexico State. Watch for him. If he's healthy, he might hit 2,000 yards. All right, we have lots to discuss in terms of the NBA draft. I have a question for you two.
Aha.
Earlier today, I posted on Twitter that, if I can find it, maybe I can't. The gist of it was, I think there are seven guys in this draft that have the competitive fire, competitive juice that you look for in a player. I think there are seven guys. And I asked people to, in fact, here it is. There are seven players in this draft who play with a hard edge, have some competitive juice. Name them.
Ooh.
And I have people I have some good names here. I have some good names. Thirsty Mangus, good list. Seven guys. I'm looking for seven guys who have a hard edge, have some competitive juice, because I think a lot of these guys are soft and or not ready for the NBA. We'll talk about that and more associated with the NBA draft when we get back from this break. I'm going to give them this break to think about that. It's unfair to just drop that on them. Walt Diptula, Road Rage. We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Northland Communications is Clemson's only 100 meg high-speed internet provider. No longer do you have to wait seconds or even minutes to stream movies, check your email, do research. You can shop online with lightning speed with Northland's 100 megabits per second internet. It's absolutely necessary in business. Here at WCCP, I don't know what we'd do without it. The speed, the bandwidth, it's all there at the highest level with Northland. In Clemson, it's essential to have fast and accessible internet for you students out there, especially if you're living in apartments with roommates. Everybody wins with that 100 meg high-speed internet from Northland Communications. They offer prices as low as $29.99 for their internet service, so you don't have to pay an arm and a leg to get the best quality for your streaming. Get full details and other offers at getnorthland.com or 1-888-NORTHLAND today.
There's a lot of confusion about the right steps to take to secure the proper financial plan for your future. Randy Strickland and Greg Wales of Kiowa Financial Group in Clemson can guide you through every step. Their fee-based planning options allow you to invest with transparency and to know where every dollar goes. They offer sound, comprehensive advice with solutions to fit any investing appetite. Call Kiowa Financial at 654-5043 or online at kiowafg.com.
King Pallet Company in Liberty is hiring first shift laborers at $82.50 a day. Great pay at $82.50 per day. King Pallet Company, 843-2448. That's 843-2448.
Everybody knows the story. You can't sleep on a bed that's too hard. You can't sleep on a bed that's too soft. But you can sleep on a bed that's just right. Engineered sleep might not have been around when Goldilocks was written, but they know that a bed that's just right is made just for you. It's not just a fairy tale. They actually build a mattress based on your sleep habits and patterns so that you can get that Goldilocks kind of sleep. And if after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process and learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there's no middleman. Factory to you. And you can score a significant discount by picking your mattress up instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
When you've been in business almost 100 years, you've been doing something right. Since 1917, the key to Harbin Lumber's success has rested on its hardworking employees, people just like you, providing top lumber, building supplies, and contract services. You can be confident in customer service and support you can trust for your project, whether construction or large remodeling jobs. Call 353-5053. Find us on Facebook or online at harbinlumber.com.
The same family has owned and operated Carolina Fireworks for nearly 60 years. With the best prices, selection, colors, and the best explosions, Carolina Fireworks invites you to shop in air-conditioned comfort as opposed to suffering in this heat in some random parking lot. Lots of 4th of July specials for your Independence Day party and a staff to help you find exactly what you need. Find Carolina Fireworks locations at carolinafireworks.org. See their main warehouse on Old Cedar Rock Road in Easley.
With Walt Zepsula.
You do seem excited, manic.
I am
verging on ecstatic, psychotic.
On 105.5, The Roar.
We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar. I'm back with Kwok and Kelly. Kelly just told me during the break that Boston is apparently trying to get Porzingis. We've heard all sorts of rumors about Boston. I don't know what's true, what's not. We heard they're interested in Anthony Davis. I don't know if that's true. All I know is Phil Jackson's done one decent thing since he's been with the Knicks, and that's Porzingis. And now apparently he is hell-bent on getting rid of him. You know, and again, you know, Kwok mentioned to me before the show, you know, well, he wants to create this triangle offense. And I said, you know, look, Phil Jackson is a bit of a phony. I mean, he has won championships because of guys named Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal, not because of the triangle offense. Tex Winter, blah, blah, blah. They won because they had the best players. They could have run any darn offense they wanted and they would have won. Who couldn't coach those guys? I mean, look, yeah, I'll grant sometimes when you're dealing with elite players and egos, it's difficult to coach them. But you could run any offense with those guys and have had great success. I think Jackson maybe almost tries to take too much credit for the triangle, which isn't his own design anyway. It's Tex Winter's design.
Well, that's a fair point, I think. I just don't even know if he, and I can't reconcile this because you know that he, in some way, shape, or form, if it worked once, it worked, you know, 11 times. But I mean, he knows at least what a championship team looks like. He knows how to put one together. He's not even doing that. He's got guys like Derrick Rose trying to run the triangle that have been freelancers. And he's got guys like Brandon Jennings trying to fit all these square pegs into round holes that he knows are round holes. It is so baffling to feel like this guy, at least to some level, knows what he's doing. And then to see the things he... Like, I should not understand that a guy named John Smith, who has very average ability, should be your point guard in the triangle offense and not somebody that's trying to do his own thing all the time.
Yeah, but
Phil Jackson should know that more than me.
Yeah, but look, here's the thing. You can have all the John Smiths you want running the point guard in your triangle offense, but as long as you don't have the Jordan or the Kobe pieces or the Shaquille O'Neal, none of it matters. And what you're saying is the difference... Phil Jackson with talent and Phil Jackson without talent. That's fundamentally what we're seeing. And that's always been, look, that's the question all the time with all these guys. It's the question with Nick Saban. Nick Saban's a great coach at LSU and Alabama. He wasn't such a great coach at Michigan State. He won like 50% of his games.
Maybe if Phil Jackson had, obviously we don't wish this upon him, but had some back issues and some rando comes in and coaches the Lakers and the Bulls, just like Steve Kerr. We would see that, yes, talent wins championships in the NBA and not necessarily coaching.
Hey, Kelly, you may have four Duke players drafted in round one. do you know what they all have in common?
They're all leaving Duke.
They all got whooped by Sindarius Thornwell in South Carolina.
I can say salt is melted butter.
Four guys going to go in round one, and Sindarius Thornwell owned them all. All right. Let's take a look at this question and see if we can come to some sort of agreement here. I have seven guys, sort of a match game thing, seven guys who I think have some competitive fire, seven guys who play with a hard edge, who are competitive naturally, which I think is a prime ingredient to competing at the NBA level. We have so many of these guys who have talent, but they get to the NBA and they're just not competitive enough. They're not tough enough. They have some ability, but they lack that competitive drive. Seven guys. Go ahead. Who's going first?
Kelly, you want to go first? And then if I have the same name as you, we'll just say that and address it.
I'll go.
All right.
I don't mind.
Go ahead.
All right. I have Josh Jackson.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right. I have him as well.
All right. You're both one for one.
Jonathan Isaac.
No.
I did not put Isaac on there.
Okay.
What about De'Aaron Fox?
That's two.
I thought about De'Aaron Fox. I like him. I do like Fox. I like him more than, in terms of that competitive edge, more than Fultz or Ball.
Well, see, here's the thing. The reason you see this in Fox is when he saw Lonzo Ball's name in front of him twice,
mm-hmm.
he took him to school.
He did.
He took on that challenge. He wanted that challenge. I've seen Fox interviewed. Really sharp, articulate guy. And you get it. He's basically saying, look, I can't wait to go to the NBA and play these guys. This is my dream. You know, he knows what he's in for. He plays the most difficult position in the NBA, the position where all the talent is, the point guard position, where you're going to go up against great players almost every single night. And if you're going to be great, you better believe and want that challenge. When that guy saw Lonzo Ball in front of him in the NCAA tournament, he frigging destroyed Lonzo Ball. And it's that competitive nature that I think really get, in addition to his athleticism. I mean, Fox is a really good athlete. I mean, a really good athlete, and he's a change of pace, and I think there's something to be advantage to being left-handed as well. But just from a hard edge standpoint, he demonstrated that in those head-to-head matchups with Lonzo Ball, and conversely, Lonzo Ball did not.
I don't mind that at all. I would put De'Aaron Fox on there as well.
All right, let's see if I can go 3 for 3. I'm going to stay with his team, Malik Monk.
No,
I don't have Monk on there.
Yeah, I'm not taking Monk because I just think, you know, Monk demonstrates real ability to get his shot. You know, surprisingly enough, he views his greatest strength as a mid-range jump shooter, which is sorely missing in today's game. Yeah. But I think where Monk falls off is on the defensive end. Yes, he made a couple defensive plays late in key games, but for the most part, he's not a competitive defender at this point. Plus, it's going to be interesting to see where he fits in. You know, he's talking about playing the one, the two, the three. I actually heard him say the other day he could guard all five positions. I thought, holy smokes.
Yeah, no.
I don't think that he has the same, you know, look, partway through the year, I said on air, I thought Fox was a better player than Monk. And people at that time thought, but I think most people have come around to that position now that Fox is the better player. Monk is one of the better shooters in the draft, and he'll have that, but he may start his career coming off the bench somewhere. So we, so far, I think have two guys.
Let me try to get another one here.
All right.
Semi Ojeleye.
I did not put Ojeleye. I think you could put Ojeleye, but I did not. The seven guys that I picked, I think have all demonstrated a real competitive fire to play against other great players and to play hard. In those situations.
Let me try one that may not fit that criteria, but if I was making seven, I'd put him on it. John Collins from Wake.
Yeah, I did not put Collins on. I think Collins is a great scorer at his height. It's going to be interesting to see how he fares in the NBA. He may be another guy who falls in this sort of tweener mode. You know, he doesn't have face-up three skills, and he does not really have the size of a four.
All right, Walt, I have one.
All right, good.
Sendarius Thornwell.
Ding, ding, ding. Thornwell has to be on the list. I mean, he demonstrated that every time he played. He led his team into the tournament. He took down Mighty Duke. I mean, there are going to be four Duke players who he outplayed who are going to be drafted before him. In fact, one of them, Luke Kennard, he completely shut down. I know he's your guy, Kelly, but let's be honest. Sendarius Thornwell posterized him, embarrassed him, totally stoned him, took away his whole offense. You know, this stuff that I don't, you know, these reports, Quark, that you were saying earlier about Thornwell not being athletic enough, I don't think that's true at all. I think Thornwell's a tremendous athlete. I mean, I watched Thornwell go to Kentucky and posterize that whole team. I mean, he went over them, through them, around them, you know, and we saw it all year. He did it, again, single-handedly. Well, he had help from his mates by this point, by the time they took on Duke. But I think Thornwell has absolute elite NBA level athleticism. I don't think that's his issue. I think his issue is, what do you do with him offensively? He doesn't handle the ball well enough to be a two guard. He's not big enough really to be a three. I think he's a tweener. I think he's a classic tweener, and that's the issue he'll confront in my mind at the pro level. But I do think at the very least, he's physical, he's tough, he's competitive. He could wind up being a Tony Allen-style defensive player at the very least, and he certainly is better offensively than Tony Allen is. So a bunch of people are going to pass on Thornwell in this draft in favor of soft, non-competitive guys, and they're going to wind up losers because you can't do it. This guy is unbelievably tough, and he showed that. So, yeah, hard edge, Sendarius Thornwell is one of those guys. Now we have three, right?
Yes.
We have Jackson, Fox, and Thornwell.
One more thing on Thornwell. The Pacers really liked him in a workout. If he goes to the Pacers at 47, I'll be hitting the roof.
Yeah.
I love that pick.
Yeah.
I love him.
He's going to help your culture I think, in just the way he plays and how he carries himself. And, you know, we know he had some incident that he got suspended for. We don't know what it was. And I think it's so far away, it really doesn't matter. But, yeah, Thornwell is a good one, Kelly, because he's down, you know, in round two somewhere. But what else we got?
I've got another one from round two, Dylan Brooks.
I had Brooks as well.
Yeah, I think Dylan Brooks is a guy like that, and Jordan Bell may be a guy like that as well. Yeah. I think both those guys.
The thing with Jordan Bell, I almost put him, but I can't get the image out of my mind of him missing that box
out in
the Final Four.
That's
I just can't.
Yeah, what he did was completely. It's one of those things that's still hard to explain. I mean, you watch it, and. I just don't have an answer for that. But yeah, I think Dylan Brooks is on the list. So where are we at now? Is that four?
That's four.
Four.
So we're closing in.
Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell,
yeah,
Kelly. Yeah.
Down.
Yeah, very nice. Donovan Mitchell is on my list. I think he's one of the more underrated players in this draft. I mean, this guy looks like an NBA guard, and he's tough and he's competitive. And again, there's not a lot of that in this draft to me. All right, let's see.
So that's five.
Kelly, do you have any more? My list is done because I had Monk and Collins.
I have
on
one
mine.
More.
Okay.
And we'll see, because I know Walt didn't love this team down the stretch. Frank Mason.
Yeah, I thought about Mason, but I was always lukewarm on Mason, as you know, and he doesn't make my list. The other two guys were Josh Hart.
I thought about Hart. Yeah,
I think Hart is a guy who, you know, again, his issue at the pro level, he's a classic tweener, and you know, and that'll be a problem. But in terms of guys who play with a hard edge and have some ability, and the last one is Frank Nicolina, the French player who, you know, typically we don't talk about Europeans playing with a hard edge, but in this case he does. This is a guy who's been playing against pros for 3 years. Since he was 15, and he has done really well guarding and shutting down some of the most talented young guards anywhere. When he's had a chance to play against people his age, he's destroyed them, and he is a very competitive guy. So those would be the seven guys for me that I think, and because of that, these would be guys I'm looking to draft. And if you don't fit that category for me, I'm not as interested in you. If you're not naturally competitive, I'm not as interested in you.
Give me one of your guys that you don't see with that hard edge that maybe is a little softer, but just has so much talent that you can't pass him up.
I think Lonzo Ball is that guy. I think because, look, Ball is a generational passer. He's an incredible distributor of the ball. He does make everybody better on that end. And, you know, people have talked about his shot. You know, there have been lots of guys throughout the history of the game who have strange shots. If you can master what you do, it really doesn't matter if it doesn't look like everybody else's. Jamal Wilkes was a great shooter, and nobody would have ever taught to shoot the ball the way Jamal Wilkes did. Of course, the problem for Ball is, in my mind, the defensive side, which we talked about all year. You know, he can't or won't guard anybody. And I think that's yet to be determined. I think you hope that, you know, here's the other thing. He's going to go to the Los Angeles Lakers dead last in all the defensive numbers in the league. Now, what I've heard from inside Lakers sources, though, is they think if he went to the Lakers, that he would instantly be the most competitive, biggest team leader on that team. That says something really hideous about your existing culture.
Yes.
You know, but I think he would be that guy. I'm still, you know, I don't go much for the analytics type stuff. And I heard you mention that the ESPN thing had Markel Fultz seven.
Down to seven, yeah.
While I don't really believe in that, I think in this particular case, I think that may be accurate. Now, the one thing with Fultz is that we have to remember is we're now playing in a league that doesn't allow any contact. And so it frees up all these guys who possess the ball. But when I look at Fultz, he does not have classic elite NBA athleticism. I know they did this thing on sports science the other night. I heard some national guy the other day talking about how he was dodging dodgeballs. I don't know what the hell that has to do with anything with playing basketball. I mean, I've watched Fultz play since high school, and I think he's a good player, but I don't think he's an elite athlete. I think he's fairly pedestrian in that regard from an NBA standard. I don't think he has a change of pace dribble. I'm not saying he can't find success. I mean, you know, I don't think we view James Harden as necessarily an elite athlete either, and he has more than carved out a niche for himself. But I think, first of all, it's going to take time with Fultz because Fultz looks really, really young. I mean, you look at Fultz and you see his body type, and I can't imagine that guy competing in the NBA immediately. And he's going to play with a bunch of young players too in Philadelphia. I don't dislike him. I don't see, every time you get into this type of conversation, it makes it seem like you dislike somebody. I don't dislike Fultz. I think there are potentially better players in this draft. I don't believe in the unanimous nature of his position as the number one pick in the draft.
I would 100% agree with that. I think the more that I look at some of these other picks, it feels like there's a little more variance with, you know, I would almost characterize Fultz maybe in the minds of scouts and people you read and look at as a high floor player that maybe you're not taking as big of a risk. Because even, you know, a guy like Jackson with the off-field incidents, you've got, as you talk about, the weak soft guy like Jonathan Isaac. I love Isaac, but the guy's 220 pounds soaking wet at 6'10", and he got lost in games last year. I mean, there were times on the floor where he looked like the best player, and you swear he'd never played in the game. So you've got, I mean, the marketing guy from Arizona, to me, all kinds of potential to be an elite player. But there's also a floor there where he may not. He may end up like Darko Milicic or some other gangly white guy because we compare gangly white guys to each other.
See, I don't think Markkanen is as good as Porzingis, you know, who the Knicks are trying to get rid of. They said Phil Jackson was talking to Markkanen. Markkanen, to me, is stiffer and not as fluid and not as versatile athletically as Porzingis is.
I don't think there's a Porzingis in this draft.
I don't either.
Porzingis is not someone you just flippantly trade away.
No, I said at the time, I thought there was a chance Porzingis wound up to be the best player in that draft. And I think he's shown all that type of promise. I mean, this is a guy who can do a lot of things at 7 feet tall. Whereas Markkanen is more like just a 7 foot spot up shooter. I mean, that's really what he is. He has not demonstrated the real versatility. The other guy I like, and we touched on him earlier, I really like Zach Collins. You know, I thought that I had said this at the time, and I know your guest, Brian Edwards, who, by the way, didn't have much right in that Cleveland series. He mentioned him, and he said, you know, had he not played 14 minutes in the national championship game, Gonzaga clearly wins that game. I think that's true. I mean, I think that he's a special player, and he's still just a kid, but he plays with some aggressiveness too, you know, and he's way more athletic than people think. So I'm going to be interested to see where he goes. All right. So now, Kwok, you're a Pacer fan, so I guess in a way this really doesn't concern you. but all right, Kelly, so who do you want to help your Spurs? Who do you want where you're picking to help your Spurs? What number are you picking?
Well, I mean, we're picking in our normal spot, about 29. Yeah. That's about where we go. This is how I feel about what the Spurs can do tonight or just in this offseason. To me, it's not really about who you draft. It's about who you get overall in trades or free agency or whatnot. I'm good with shopping LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm fine with that to see what you can get. I would love maybe at that spot you bring in a Tony Bradley type player, even though I know he hasn't played at all. Maybe a Caleb Swanigan. If you do get rid of LaMarcus Aldridge, you maybe want some reinforcements down low. I'd like players like that. I wouldn't mind a Jordan Bell around that time. But to me, it's less about what the Spurs do in the draft and more about what they do acquiring other assets in other ways.
LaMarcus Aldridge... I mean, that's a real issue. I mean, you bring him in thinking that you're basically building your super team. You're looking for a replacement part for Duncan. You know, the guy has ability. I mean, he there are times even in Portland he flashed elite ability and elite talent. The problem is, as a basketball person, it's just tough to watch a guy who's 6'11", who at times winds up with matchups where he's being checked by guys who are 6'4", and he's still taking 12-foot fadeaways. I mean, it's just, it's impossible. I mean, you see it and you just say, get rid of him. That's what you're thinking. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, you know, listen, the Spurs still have some pieces, and they still have one of the three best players on planet Earth, in my estimation, in Kawhi Leonard. By the way, are we in agreement with that? Are we in agreement with the three best players on Earth right now are LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Kawhi Leonard, and perhaps in no particular order?
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I think clearly those guys have separated themselves, and we'll never really know what the truth of San Antonio Golden State was, because, you know, game one at Golden State,
exactly.
San Antonio up 25 points late in the third quarter. There's no question they were going to win that game. I mean, they still almost won that game, even without Leonard. It still came down to the final minute, and Golden State wasn't playing particularly well. They were going to win game one. Now, I don't know what would have happened beyond that. And also, remember, they're playing without Parker. You know, not that Parker is what he used to be, but he's still an integral part of what San Antonio was doing. You know, at the very least, we would have had a more competitive. Actually, the Spurs would have given Golden State the best go because Cleveland was not going to. You know, that was, to me, that was like a known fact coming in. I did not see Cleveland having any chance to beat Golden State as they're constituted. Great job, guys.
Thanks, Walt.
Absolutely incredible. All right, Quack, I'll just ask you anyway as we get out of here. Indiana, who do you want?
I want somebody like...
You can't
like,
say Paul George.
No, I don't want... But honestly, if tomorrow Paul George is with the Pacers, I'm burning all my gear. Like, there's no reason in the world to not have three first-round draft picks. Take Julius Randle, 27 and 28 for Paul George. Get Swanigan underneath with that 28. And get Derek White from Colorado, 27. And I'll take, I don't know, John Collins or give me Ananobi or somebody on the wing at 17.
We're real late. But you know what's funny about Paul George, man? It was just a few days ago I was hearing he wanted to stay in Indiana. I was reading that. And then like Probably a day Moses. Later, he's telling him, you better trade me because I'm leaving at the end of the year. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage. Thank you, Quack and Kelly. Great job. We'll be right back.
You've dreamed of designing your one-of-a-kind pool. Now you can at Aqua Pool Care in Anderson. Right before your eyes, beautiful cascading waterfalls, elegant spillover spas, and unique water fountains come to life with their 3D virtual computer system. And when it's complete, let Aqua Pool Care maintain your pool so you can enjoy your masterpiece. Unlimited pool possibilities with Aqua Pool Care. Call them at 508-1885 or online at aquapoolcarellc.com and make your dreams come true.
Jacob Thompson, a U.S. Marine who just returned from combat to a civilian world.
The brotherhood was gone. Nobody cared whether or not I went to work or not. Nobody was worried about it. It was basically all on me.
Upstate Warrior Solution provides a bridge to civilian life for warriors and their families. Help us to help them. Donate or volunteer at upstatewarriorsolution.org.
Rely on EnviroMulch. They supply quality landscape supplies for any outdoor project. Their spring special, get double ground hardwood mulch for $1 off per yard. Ordered online with promo code WCCP. No other discounts apply. From your friends at EnviroMulch, go Tigers!
In life, finding quality in anything can sometimes be difficult. Custom Collision would like for you to know that there are still a few places out there where quality matters. You can rest assured that at Custom Collision, not only will you be impressed with the quality of the finished product, but you will experience the quality of service that is unmatched. From taking care of your rental to handling the insurance, Custom Collision is there for you. Custom Collision, when quality counts. 231-6900 or online at CustomCollisionInc.com.
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And specials like Monday's pizza and a pint build your own four-topping pizza for $9. The finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
Chances are, at this moment, you're probably not inside a Denny's, which is perfectly fine by us.
Because with new Denny's online ordering, you no longer need to be in a Denny's to enjoy your Denny's. You could be at home or by a lake. Look at you exploring. So order Denny's pancakes, burgers, or something you've never tried before. Today's all about exploring. New Denny's online ordering. Whatever, whenever, and now wherever. Order now at Denny's.com. Price and participation may vary. Delivery available in select locations.
We're here enjoying a meal at this diner to show how the Go Rewards card from Navy Federal Credit Union can earn you 3 times the rewards points at restaurants. Of course, earlier we were earning 2 times the points on gas. And we started the day earning points shopping. Because the Go Rewards card rewards you for all the places you go, every day. Visit NavyFederal.org for more information. Open to the Armed Forces, the DOD, veterans, and their families. Navy Federal Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
Summer involves a lot of driving to camp, to work, to soccer, back home to grab what they forgot, and then back to soccer again. So wouldn't you like to know your car is up for it? Enter Hum by Verizon. Now you can check your car's health from your phone with vehicle diagnostics, drive with more peace of mind thanks to 24/7 emergency assistance, and let the kids stream and game on the go with your car's own Wi-Fi hotspot. Get Hum and get where you're going. Learn more at Hum.com. Verizon Wi-Fi available on Hum X only. Data usage applies. Coverage not available everywhere. Visit VZW.com for availability.
Road Rage with Walt Zepsula.
Don't you have any respect for yourself?
On 105.5 The Roar.
Boy, I sure do love this country we live in. And I was raised by and stood beside those who fought to keep it free. Now it's on us to pass on that freedom. I just want to take this time to show my appreciation the best way that I can. It goes like this. On a hot summer's day at a small town parade, you can smell it in the air like some fresh cut hay. Tennessee.
Welcome to the Red Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. We are back. Lots to get to. You want to get in, join the conversation, 654-7627. Thanks to Kelly and Kwok for stopping in. Did a nice job. Came up with a good number of those answers. Basketball David threw out his list just before I released them. And did a nice job hitting the target as well. Jackson, basketball David had Jackson, Nicolina, Donovan Mitchell, Zach Collins, Thornwell, Peak, Swanigan, and Josh Hart as his eighth. And, you know, a lot of those match this list. You know, again, the guys I would add there would be Fox and Dylan Brooks. And I think both of those guys have that same competitive drive. And that's what I'm looking for. When I'm looking for things that separate these players, I want the guys who compete. Look, Michael Jordan was a great, great athlete. But one of the things that made Michael Jordan so great was his competitive will. His competitive will. And all the great players have it. You're not a great player without competitive will. Mark from Simpsonville, did you see Vegas got Watson at 13.5 games he will start next year? No, I didn't. But did you see what Gil Brandt said? Said that basically that he can forget about it, that Tom Savage is going to be the quarterback. So I want to get to that in a little bit. You know, Gil Brandt, you talk about abuse. Listen, if you put out a list, you better come strong because there are armies of people waiting to attack your credibility. Now, I've got to say, Gil Brandt probably brought a little of this on himself. He made some rather curious decisions, and in some cases, some near fatal ones. And he's continued that with his offensive tackle list, in which he originally left Walter Jones out. He put him in subsequent to getting destroyed over not having him in there, which I think disrupted his list because he had to move Walter Jones to the 4 spot, I believe. And we may take a look at that. I want to go back to my running back list too, one of my recent running back lists. But before we get to any of that, I want to keep this draft discussion for a few minutes. You want to get in, you're welcome to. I'm still of the same opinion that I've been with Markelle Fultz. I like Markelle Fultz. It's not that I dislike him. You know, if I had the 5th, 6th, 7th pick, I think I would be looking to take him. Texans says, based on Gil Brandt's latest work, sounds like you should bet the over on Watson starts this year. Vey. I'll read you that exact thing that he said in a little bit. In fact, you know what? I actually have it here. Gil Brandt tweeted today, hearing good things about the progress that Tom Savage has made in the offseason to point where he goes into training camp as the clear favorite to win the job. Gil Brandt tweeted that today. So if you didn't like his list yesterday, you probably like him even less today. So, yeah, again, Gil Brandt today, hearing good things about the progress that Tom Savage has made this offseason to the point where he goes into training camp as the clear favorite to win the job. You know, I don't know. Tom Savage is sort of a gypsy. He does have a strong arm. He's always been sort of a guy who moved around. You know, he's been studying this offense for the last 2 years. They say it takes 2 years to learn this offense. Who knows? But the belief is that, you know, and quite honestly, he sort of fits the profile that coaching staff looks for. So I don't know what's going on in Houston. I mean, generally when you make the kind of move that they did for Deshaun Watson, generally is with an intent to play him. It's hard to know, but Gil Brandt saying the opposite, saying that, and look, and again, I don't know. I've said before, it takes time to learn this offense, and Savage does fit the profile of what that coaching staff historically looks for. Big, strong pocket passer type. I guess we'll see. You know, there's a cerebral element there, and obviously they thought Deshaun Watson could handle that as well. But according to Gil Brandt, Tom Savage and the clear lead to win that position. On the other hand, you would probably think he would be at this point in the process. You know, Cole Stout was once in the lead over Deshaun Watson. You know, so sometimes that's the way that works. It may not mean that much in the end. On the draft, though, you know, again, I like Markelle Fultz. I am not in agreement with the rest of the basketball world that he is the unanimous number one player in this draft. I don't see it that way. I watch Fultz and I think he's a good player. He can do a lot of things. He's versatile. You know, he's one of the few guys in a major conference to go 25-5 in the last 20 years. Of course, the other one was sort of a bust. But when I watch him, I just don't think he's explosive. I don't watch him come away thinking, well, he's explosive athletically. I think he's going to have a big time adjustment to the next level, a big time adjustment. We're also going to see who they want to handle the ball there, because allegedly they wanted Simmons to handle the ball. It's going to be interesting to see who their primary ball handler is. I assume since you're drafting Fultz, he's going to be the guy you plan on taking over that role. I think he's going to have some major adjustments to the pro game. He's going to have a hard time leveling off any of these elite NBA lead guards. I just don't think he can. And again, this is where I'm looking for that competitive nature. De'Aaron Fox has that nature. Fox is a better athlete than Fultz. Fox is a better athlete than Fultz, and he has that competitive nature. Frank Nicolina. I think maybe the most underrated guy in the draft. I know people are talking about him at 9. I'm almost going to be surprised if he gets that far. Now, I think if he gets to 9, you know, someone 9 in that area, someone's going to get a steal. Because this guy is great length. He's like 6'5". He can guard multiple positions. He's already shut down some of the elite young upcoming guards in international basketball. I mean, shut them down defensively. He's going to be a lockdown defender. He has a nice shot. His offensive game is still developing. His ball handling is still developing. But long term, I think he's going to be a better player than Markelle Fultz. I personally would take Frank Nicolino before Markelle Fultz. And I think at the top of this draft, and look, there are elements of his game he needs to improve, but I still think Josh Jackson, again, hyper-competitive nature, super athlete, things that translate. Those seven guys that I gave earlier, I think are guys that I would be looking at depending on where I'm drafting. I think Donovan Mitchell is a guy that is being overlooked here. I think Donovan Mitchell is a prototypical NBA guard. And I think too many people are sleeping on him. Luke Kennard, remember, as I mentioned earlier, Kennard's a guy who totally got taken out of his game by Sindarius Thornwell. Totally stoned him. Shut him down to nothing. Honestly, what he did to Kennard was, from Kennard's standpoint, was almost embarrassing. Thornwell totally shut him down. Well, that's the type of athleticism you see at the NBA level. Now, Kennard is nifty, and unlike some of these other Duke shooters that have come out, he's more like 6'6". So he has that going for him. But, look, he's going to have to cover somebody, too. He's going to have to guard guys in the NBA. The reason Kennard fits at the point that he is in this draft is because we have a league now where teams are looking for shooters. And Kennard at least gives you that. He can shoot the basketball. Aaron, I'm going to get right to you as soon as we get back. But Kennard gives you that. I don't know. It depends on what I'm looking for. In the right situation, I could see drafting Luke Kennard. Sam says, Markkanen to Miami. Will he be there at 14? If so, would he be a good fit? I almost think he won't be there. And again, I know Markkanen's getting a lot of love. I've heard these Dirk Nowitzki comparisons, as I mentioned before. I don't necessarily see it. He's a guy who in the tournament, to me, just looks sort of soft. He stands around the perimeter and he looks to shoot the ball. He doesn't use his athletic ability to a great enough degree. As I said before, I think he's like a poor man's Porzingis, which again makes the Knicks situation that much more inexplicable because of the things that Phil Jackson said. Aaron, you'll be up first when we get back. Waltip Tula Road Rage, quick break. I'll be right back.
Greenville, the flagship station for Clemson Athletics. 105.5 The Roar.
It's bow time at Bojangles. Try one of our $4 breakfast biscuit combos with your choice of a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, country ham biscuit, sausage and egg biscuit, or steak biscuit. Four different combos, only $4 each. Bojangles, it's bow time.
Working on the car, huh?
Yeah, it's been stalling.
It could be friction from your floor mat.
No.
Oil change too? Better change your oil fuses.
Nice try. Hand me that Purolator Boss filter.
Wow. Protects up to 15,000 miles?